This is the word of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, near where Brother Shannon left off. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me start out with giving some thanks. I am very thankful to be here at this 135th anniversary of Rocky Mount Church. It's an honor to be with you. I appreciate getting to see some of you again, maybe some of you for the first time. And I do appreciate the friendship and the good example and the labors of Brother Shannon and Brother Matt. They've been such good friends over the years, and I just trust that continues for all of our days on earth until we either go to be with the Lord or He comes back and gets us. And thank you for a good supper. A lot of work went into that. Somebody grilled. I appreciate that. Somebody cleaned a lot. Somebody's probably already bagged the trash. A lot of work goes into a meeting like this, and I do appreciate it. And Brother Matt, not only inviting people and announcing it, but kind of staying in touch with us so we know what's going on. There's a lot of work in that. But what I want to thank you most of all is to repeat what Brother Shannon thanked you for, among other things, and that is thank you for your prayers, that especially the prayers that one name would be glorified, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He'd bless us to worship Him in spirit and in truth while we're together for a short time. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me ask a question to you, both young and old. Do you want the will of God for your lives? A God that loves you, do you want the will of God for your life? I do, I think. I do. And the reason I say it that way is, if we truly are sincere about wanting the will of God for our lives, then it would be inconsistent, maybe even hypocritical of us, to say we want God to give us His specific will for our life and neglect the will of God as stated in Scripture for the life of all His children. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. I'm the oldest of three children, and let me roll back the clock a long way till I'm 16 years old, and my brother, who lives in Huntsville, is 13 years old, and my sister, who now lives in Cedartown, is 10 years old. And say my dad tells us, now, children, I want you all to clean your rooms, make your beds, and I want you to mow the yard and trim the hedges, and then we'll talk when I get home. And so he comes home, and I haven't cleaned my room, and I haven't made my bed, and I haven't mowed the yard, and I hadn't trimmed the hedges. And he gets home, and he says, did you do what I told you? Did you do my will for you? And I say, well, no, Daddy, I didn't. But really, what I want to know, I want to sit down and talk about what your will is, what kind of car you're going to buy me in the next few months. Okay? See what I've done? I've asked His specific direction for something I want and totally neglected what not only He wants, but He commanded. Now, this is something real plain as far as the will of God for your life. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, something you need to know about God is ultimately when all is said and done, all His will be done. He won't be missing a single one of His children. All of His children will be given thanks in His holy presence. They all will be in the truth, in His love, in holiness, in honor, set apart for His glory. It's all going to come to pass. He's not going to be disappointed about the eternal state of anything regarding the human race, because He's sovereign. But remember the prayer that He gave as an example for His disciples to pray in this manner? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, sometimes we don't read it that way. Sometimes we say, thy kingdom come, period, thy will be done, period. And then we say something that's not even a sentence. In earth as it is in heaven. Do you think the Lord is going to give a bad grammar prayer? That's not the way the prayer reads. This is all one sentence. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that God's will be done in this earth, which has been made into a body, the same way it's done among the angels that surround the throne. Now, sometimes in my life, that's been a lot different from the angels. The angels do God's will cheerfully, instantly, joyfully. They sing His praises. They send His messages. They defend His children. They minister to His children. They do all of that with joy. You know how I've done God's will the few times I've done it? Kicking and screaming and complaining. I saw a cartoon recently and a picture of somebody that's supposed to be the Lord. And I don't like pictures that are supposed to be the Lord, but this one's supposed to be the Lord. And he's talking to one of his children. And he says, you see those two sets of footprints in the sand? That's where you and I walked side by side. You see that place where there's only one set of footprints in the sand? That's where I picked you up and carried you. And you see that one long groove going through the sand? That's where I drug you. We are supposed to pray that we don't do God's will that way. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That means we're praying, God, let me do thy will cheerfully, swiftly, joyfully, thankfully. We're supposed to be praying that. God's made a lot of His will just abundantly clear in the Scripture. If I flip back one chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He tells us about some other things. Let me start with verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let me pick two things out of there. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There's one. Then let me pick one out of here in verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That means keep yourself pure sexually, according to the guidelines in the Bible. And it means be honest. Don't defraud your brother. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't be a contract breaker. Don't be a deal welcher. Now, let's look at that same example. Daddy, I didn't mow the grass. I didn't make my bed. I didn't trim the hedges. Let's talk about what your will for my car is going to be. A lot of times we want to know God's will for our life. Lord, do you want me to be a doctor or a lawyer? Do you want me to be a teacher or an engineer? Do you want me to be a farmer or a mechanic? Lord, show me your will for my life. And Lord, guide me in such a way that I'll be prosperous and happy and healthy and famous and rich. But Lord, as far as your will about that other stuff, I'm going to drink with my friends. I'm going to live with my girlfriend. I'm going to cheat on tests. And I'm going to gripe about my job. What do you think about that? When God has just said, here's my will for your life. Abstain from fornication, don't defraud your brother, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't you think That's a little bit ungrateful right off the start to say, I'm going to live the life on earth the way I see fit, but Lord, guide me so that I'll prosper. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. Either we really want to be grateful and humble and following the Lord, or we don't. We need to make the decision clear. And if we haven't made the decision clear, if we've cheated, if we've slept around, if we've griped and murmured and complained, right now is a good time to say, Lord, that's what I've done. Forgive me and help me. I'm going to start going a different path. You see, it is the will of God to glorify all His children by making them like His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what predestination is all about, by the way. For whom He did foreknow, them did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom He did predestinate, them He called. Whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He glorified. All right, let's look at that. Whom He did foreknow, them did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That He, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn from the resurrection of the dead among many brethren. That is, God's got one only begotten Son, who is God the Son and the Son of Man now also. And He's got a multitude of adopted children. And His purpose in predestination is to make every one of those children He adopted in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world glorified like His Son Jesus Christ after the resurrection. What does that mean? Does that mean shining? Yes. Does that mean powerful? Yes. Does that mean immortal? Yes. Does that mean with a character like Jesus Christ? A character of righteousness? A character of love? A character of truthfulness? Yes. Yes. Does that mean one who knows what it is to suffer? Yes. Yes. It means to make them, even though they are their unique selves, everyone is a snowflake. They're unique unto God. But they are like Jesus Christ, both in glory outwardly and in that glory and holiness inwardly. And that's a wonderful thing to think about, a reason to give thanks. And now for the balance of my time, what I'd quickly like to do, something I do pretty often, just look at examples of the thankfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let me read a few scriptures. First one found in John chapter 6. I want you to see something the Lord was thankful for. Start with verse 5, but what I'm really after is verse 11. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming unto Him, He said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little." One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks. Let's make it a habit to give thanks when we eat. I know we do that when we're at a meeting. I know we do that when the tables are all set and you're there at church. But do we do that at Wendy's? Do we do that at Pizza Hut? Do we give thanks when we're at Longhorn. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did. He did. This was very public. Tells us that there were 500 males in the crowd. This was a very public thanks. Remember, this is the one who can, if he wanted to, could have made bread out of stones. This is the one who feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies of the field. And yet, making use of this little fellow's five loaves, probably kind of just big rolls, two small fishes, what a generous little boy that must have been. I got my lunch, but I want to help. And the Lord takes it, and he gives thanks. That's what predestination is headed us for. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's look at another example. Still the gospel according to John, chapter 11. The Lord is standing outside the grave of Lazarus. Let's start with verse 39, but I'm after verse 41. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Look at verse 41 there. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. There's been many times that I've been on my face before the Lord asking for something in a way that nearly seemed desperate. I say nearly because desperate means without hope. And I wasn't without hope. But hope gets mighty low and mighty dim sometimes. Sometimes prayers are just nearly heart-wrenching. And sometimes God answers them, yes. Sometimes he answers them, no. Sometimes he answers them, wait. There was a leper that came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said one time, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a yes. He said, I will. Be thou clean. And the leprosy left him. There was a time he said no. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, lest he be exalted for the abundance of the revelations. And he prayed, God, take this thorn away from me. And he prayed, and he prayed. And the Lord answered no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for in weakness am I made strong. Sometimes the Lord answers wait. That was the case here with Lazarus. Mary and Martha had already sent a message to him where he was, and the messenger said, Lord, he whom thou lovest, speaking of Lazarus, is sick. That meant, we need you to come. Our brother's sick. We love him. You love him. Please come. And the Lord Jesus Christ stayed right where he was 2 days and didn't move. And by the time he got there, not only was he dead, he had been buried for 4 days. What do you think about that? The Lord said, wait. And they waited, and they waited, and they mourned. And then he came after 4 days of burial, raised him from the dead. But here's what I want to point out. Sometimes the Lord answers yes, sometimes he answers no, sometimes he answers wait, but he answers his children. And here the Lord, Jesus Christ, is thanking his Father that his Father hears his prayers. Do you and I thank God when those prayers are answered? There's times that I've been flat on my face, surely crying out to the Lord. But I have, and I know there's been times he's answered and I've gone back and thanked him. But I can't remember the specific times, but I'm confident there are times I didn't go back and think. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave the example otherwise. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Do you thank God for answered prayers? Here's another example. This is in Matthew chapter 11. Starting with verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you've hidden these things from some people, and you've revealed them unto others. Thank you for that, Father. Are you thankful for God's sovereignty? Are you thankful that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy? Are you thankful that God has caused some people to be born in Japan, and others to be born in Italy, and you to be born in this country? Are you thankful, if you are male, that He made you male? And if you are female, He made you female? Are you thankful for the way He has chosen to do things? Now, I'm not always happy about it. I wish He had made me a little taller with broader shoulders and not go gray-headed so early. But you know what? The Lord's got good reasons for the things He's done. And there's some things that we're wishing God would do otherwise, and the reason things aren't better off is because we just need to make other choices. We might need to work harder. We might need to go and apologize to somebody. We might need to have some better habits. You know, there's some things we can improve in our lives because the Lord has set choices before us. Like being thankful or being unthankful. There are things that we can change, but there are some things we can't change. You've heard the old prayer, the serenity prayer. Lord, help me to accept the things I cannot change and improve the things that I can change and give me the wisdom to know the difference. There's some things that I can't change. Lord, Father of heaven and earth, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank Thee that You've hidden some things, revealed some others, that You've worked one way with some and another with us and another with me. Lord God, thank You for Your sovereign decisions because Thou art God. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Thank You, Lord, for that. Many people are very unhappy because they just want to run contrary to things God has decided. Lord, why did You make me like this? Why did You cause me to be born here? Why have You given me these abilities and not those abilities? And they spend their whole life in ingratitude, not gratitude for God's sovereign decisions. That is a recipe for misery. Not only misery in your own life, but infecting those around you. If you are not thankful for God's choices that can't be changed, you're going to be a spreader of misery and discontent your days on the earth. Don't go there. Or if you are there, come out, brother and sister. Come out. Let me give my last one here. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the table at the Passover and then the Last Supper with His disciples before He goes to the cross. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 26, but I'm after verse 27. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Did the Lord like pain? No, he was a human being like us, although he's the Son of God forever. Did he like shame? No, he despised it. Did he like torment? No. Did he like being separated from God, hanging in the darkness on the cross? No. You're talking about the Lord of life. You're talking about the light of the world. You're talking about the bread of life. You're talking about the one who delights in life. And his first commandment given in Genesis 1 is, let there be light. But he went into the darkness and hung upon the cross and suffered the shame and shed his blood and gave thanks for the emblem of that shed blood. You know why he did it? Because it was the joy that was set before him. The Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? He was going to save eternally, forever, every one of his children given him by the Father before the foundation of the world. He was going to redeem his bride. He was going to bring his beloved in such a place that she could never be separated from him, no matter what any individual that constituted that bride had ever done. There was a joy set before him, and yet that blood still had to be shed, and that life still had to be given. There was no other way. He said, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there was no other way. And so the cup came to him, and he shed his blood and drank of that cup, that you and I wouldn't have to drink of the cup of God's wrath and judgment, but rather we would be able to say, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So he took one cup that we'd get the other. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can we thank God for the mission and purpose he's given us? For that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Do you and I want the will of God for our lives? Then we need to look at the example that was given to us in our Savior. He was thankful for a meal. He was thankful for an answered prayer. He was thankful for God's sovereign decisions. And he was thankful even for the suffering of his own shed blood that would bring his bride home to him forever. I need to be more thankful than I am. But you know, sometimes it's best to start with the little things. You know, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Sometimes I may be working on being thankful for God's sovereignty. I know that I'm not there yet where I would be thankful for my own sufferings for Christ's sake. I need to get there, though. I need to get there. And the best way for me to get there for those greater things is to go ahead and start practicing the little things. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Here's a sandwich and a bowl of soup on my plate before me. Thank you, dear Lord. You heard my prayer. Thank you, dear Lord. And as I practice those little things, I know I won't be up to the greatness that has been exemplified in the life of our Savior. But what a wonderful thing, just on a daily basis, to be just a little more like the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Thank you.